When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Hello and welcome to The Rest Is Football with Alan Shearer, Micah Richards and me, Gary Lineker. It's been one of the great sporting weekends. We had the Grand National on Saturday. The final round of the Masters is taking place as we speak, as it's a Sunday evening now. And the football, certainly didn't disappoint either, unless, of course, you're a Liverpool or an Arsenal fan. It's been a pivotal weekend in the title race, of course. It may even be the defining week that decides where that Premier League trophy will be going next month. Alan, you're up in Manchester as you made a tactical error by doing Match of the Day 2 on Masters Sunday. Mikey, you look like, yes, you're at home. Alan, how's your day been up there?
Oh, it's been like everyone else's day who loves football. It's absolutely bonkers. I mean, I don't think many people would have expected those two results today for Liverpool and for Arsenal. Two phenomenal performances from Palace and from Aston Villa. I bet you Pep at this moment in time is having a ridiculous large cigar with a large glass of red wine.
I think you might be right. I mean, what a day for Manchester City. They're now 2 points clear at the top of the table. It's back in their hands. And as we know from previous seasons, when they have to win every game, they do tend to do it. Mike, I mean, I think you've got a smile on one side of your face and a little bit of a smirk on the other, because obviously we all know deep down you're an Arsenal fan.
Exposing me again. We addressed this many times before. I was a gooner growing up, but yeah, I just thought, because when we look at the fixtures, again, you presenters ask us pundits to predict who's going to win the league. We did it at the start of the season. And you even had a prediction yourself, didn't you, Gary, with Arsenal? But I said 2 weeks ago, I was doing Sky, and Liverpool got a good result, and then everyone was saying Liverpool are going to win the league. I still think there's going to be another twist before the end of the season. Everyone's always saying, City know they've history of going on big runs. We know that. But they've got Real Madrid midweek. We don't know what's going to be the outcome of that game. And some of these teams now who, before, the likes of Aston Villa are a better squad now. Spurs are a better team now. Man City have still got to go to Spurs away. It's been a bogey team for them for many years. But it's just exciting and it's interesting. And I just thought Aston Villa, I know the big story is the title race. Of course it is. But like Alan said, Palace were outstanding and so were Aston Villa. Unai Emery deserves so much credit. Don't forget, he's going back to a team where it didn't work out for him. He didn't probably get the time he wanted. But tactically in the game, I thought it got it spot on.
Thought it was a tactical masterclass from Unai Emery. And by the way, there was nothing defensive. Although they were brilliant defensively, they didn't sit and try to hit Arsenal on the attack. They actually were brave at everything they did, Aston Villa. And I thought it was a tactical masterclass in how to subdue a crowd, how to subdue players when you know the opposition are going to be under huge pressure. And I mean, Palace did that as well at Anfield. Both teams today, Palace and Aston Villa, were absolutely outstanding in everything they did, because you know that players and teams are under huge pressure. You know that if you frustrate for 20 or 25 minutes, you just start to hear the little moans and groans. Players start thinking, they start panicking, that things don't come naturally as they normally would. And that's exactly what Palace and Villa did today. I thought they were outstanding in everything they did.
I really like tactically what Aston Villa was doing. So, you know, Arsenal love the high press, but you see how long Villa were waiting before they was playing out. The centre-backs, Pau Torres, who was excellent, we know how good he is on the ball, but Diego Carlos really was a machine at the back. And they was just inviting that pressure onto them so they could play out. And they got caught out sometimes, but they kept doing it. Arsenal at times were a little bit flustered. Then they managed to get the ball into Morgan Rodgers, who's, he was told to us as a striker. Obviously he was at Man City, he was at Middlesbrough as well, I believe, but he's still only, I think, 21. The positions he was getting into, sort of getting between Arsenal's defence and midfield at times, I just thought was outstanding. The rotation with him and Watkins was great. When Watkins went in, then he would go up. I just thought the whole game plan for Aston Villa was, and they all work so hard, don't they? They work ridiculously hard. They was lucky at times in the first half. They had to ride the wave of attacks from Arsenal, but in the game overall, especially in that second half, they were outstanding.
I was going to say the second half. I mean, tactically and everything. I mean, whatever he did at halftime, and he talked, obviously twisted it a little bit. And they were so dominant in the second half. That wasn't just hitting on the counter-attack. They were the better side. They had the better chances. Tielemann was unbelievably unlucky when he hit the bar and the post came. I mean, Watkins in the first half as well, didn't he? It reminds me, actually, I played in a North London derby once and it was 0-0 at Highbury, and I hit a shot like that and it hit both posts. And it's absolutely gutting, that kind of miss. But what a finish from Ollie Watkins for the second one. Villa in the second half, I thought they were absolutely exceptional. And you've Unai Emery, and he will never admit it, of course, but there would have been part of him in there going, take that, you lot.
Did you see him celebrate the goal? I mean, you can see, I was actually delighted because I was saying, isn't that brilliant to see that he's none of this shit about respecting the opposition because he used to play for them and all of that. I get all of that, but it was great to see him celebrate. He's worked and worked and worked. And, hey, they played on Thursday night. So to have that, to go away again and have that energy and all of that and right throughout the game, not just the first half, you'd think the energy might have dipped a bit second half, but anything, it actually got better and better. So, it was a great performance, and I was delighted to see him celebrate in the way he did.
Yeah, in many ways, the two first halves were quite similar of Liverpool Palace and Arsenal Villa, weren't they? But they both like missed chances. Obviously, Liverpool missed a lot of chances today, but Villa always looked a threat, and as did Crystal Palace, particularly in the first half.
Palace missed some big chances as well, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Eze, Elise, Mateta, I think they've only played 8 times together this season. So when, particularly those two, as we know, Eze and Elise, they give Palace something different. And there was no fluke about it. Yes, Liverpool missed chances. So did Crystal Palace miss a lot of chances as well.
Yeah, we were all saying on the group chat that we have before we do these podcasts about Adam Wharton in midfield, 20 years old, new signing, obviously came in the transfer window from your old lot, Alan, about Blackburn. What a performance. I mean, he's so calm on the ball, doesn't give it away, never gets flustered, tracked back, looked good going forward, really good all-round game.
When I was at Blackburn 6 or 7 weeks ago, they were telling me about that. They said, you know, they had to sell him for obvious reasons, and they felt as if Palace had got a great deal. They wanted him to get and needed to get more for him, but such was the need to sell. So they said Palace got him on the cheap, and I understand why today. I mean, been watching him and he's been really impressive, but today I thought he ran that midfield today, you know, when you consider who he was against and it being at Anfield, that's a pretty big thing to say, but he was absolutely outstanding.
Looks like a possible star for the future. I know we're jumping around between the two games here, but I think I think there's a justification for that because there were distinct similarities. Obviously, Liverpool were more dominant in the second half of their game against Palace, and Palace's rearguard action was exemplary in that. Whereas Villa were probably much the better side in the second half of their game. But as an Arsenal fan, as a Liverpool fan, they'll be absolutely choked today, won't they?
You know what it is? It's the fact that. We talk about the race, and then there was a big discussion about Arsenal going to the Etihad and, you know, was it taking 4 points off them this season? So you go back to last season and a lot of people were saying Arsenal, they bottled it, which it didn't bottle it. It just ran out of steam at the wrong time. Now, when you've gone to Man City and played really well, give you all the confidence you need, then to basically have a game at Villa. And even if you can draw a game as well, can't you? It's like Arsenal are going for it. Sometimes you just got to say, you know what? We'll take a draw. Villa are outstanding in the second half and let's go again. But to lose the 3 points at home after all what they've done up until now, that's what will hurt a little bit more.
It's that old adage, isn't it? If you can't win the game, don't lose it.
Exactly.
Micah, were you a bit surprised where he started Havertz?
Well, this is the conversation. And Havertz, in fairness to him, so probably against the lesser teams, you can put in Havertz in a midfield area. And to be fair, I thought Havertz did quite well. I think in terms of the time of his run between the centre-back and right-back for Villa at times, he was getting in. It was just that final little pass wasn't right. But in terms of the energy that Aston Villa bring, when you've got Jorginho, how he dictates a game, and Partey's coming to the team recently as well, I just thought it was a game for them, you know? And it's one where you look back and, you know, Arteta's the manager, has got to make the decision. But I just thought, at times in the second half, they got overrun in midfield. It was too easy for Aston Villa. They needed a little bit more steel in there. Even we look at Declan Rice now and his position. He could play Holden, he could play number 8. But when a Jorginho or Partey doesn't play, they just don't have the same stability.
I was really surprised that he didn't play Jorginho because he's been really good in recent
weeks. He's been excellent.
Really good. And it obviously allows Rice to march more forward, and he's very good at running with the ball and breaking between the lines, that kind of way. So I was quite surprised. I think it was Paul Merson, wasn't it? It was on before the game saying that he thought it was a mistake. He said it before the game, which is, you know, fair play to him for recognising that. But what's going on in the, I mean, we've all been in title races. What's going on in the Arsenal players' heads tonight?
Well, obviously, huge disappointment. You're thinking to yourself, is that it? Have we blown it? Because all of us have said you're going to have to be pretty much perfect in between, what was it, 2 weeks ago and until the end of the season. But I don't think this is the last twist you'll see. I think there'll be another twist somewhere along the line. City are without doubt obviously favourites now. It's been a great weekend for them. But yeah, they'll be down in the dumps. But they can't be for long because they've got to pick themselves up and go to Munich in the Champions League, haven't they?
You know what's different though about this time round? Normally you have two teams going for the league, don't you? So, okay, you want one team to drop points or what, but it's now you're expecting two, you want or hoping two teams drop points. And that is the difference. And with Man City's record of the runs that they go on, it's always going to be difficult. But you've got to keep going. When we was going for the league, when we won the league, we won it on goal difference. We were 7 points behind with, was it around 10 games to go? I know a few more games, but you've still just got to believe and hope that a team slips up. Just make sure you do your job.
Well, if it's anything like the Championship, I mean, it could. I mean, nobody wants to go up. Nobody wants to win a game. Nobody wants to score a bloody goal. I mean, as for Leicester, how they Leicester are getting away with it at the moment? I mean, they lost. They lost on Friday night And then both, then Leeds managed to lose at home, and Ipswich didn't manage to win at home. And the similar thing occurred the week before, but I suspect that's very unlikely to happen to someone it's like mad, Manchester City.
Was the booing at Leicester? Did I hear reports of
it was
booing?
An away? The last two games have been away, so maybe the fans that have travelled. I mean, if you've gone to Millwall and then gone all the way down to Plymouth, which is a bloody long way, and your team hasn't scored a goal and hasn't performed at all, then I'm sure there'll be a few rumbles, because I mean I've got lots of Leicester fans that are friends and family, including three of my lads, and we're all bloody grumbling. But we also know that the results have been so favourable even after they've lost that they're still probably, well, it's still in Leicester's hands to go up. They've got three of the last four games at home, but come on, lads. Get a grip. Make it happen. Don't just hope it happens. Get out there. Make it happen. Stop trembling. Stop being nervous. Get out there. Score some goals. Have some fun. Play some football. Entertain the crowd. Win the bloody title. Get back in the Premier League. There you go. There's
come
my
on,
team
this
talk.
This is just a pod about the big clubs. Forget Leicester.
Sorry, it's all right.
Do you want us to... joking, Leicester fans. Don't attack me.
It's all right. Yeah, we might even mention Newcastle as well on that front, Alan. dear. You know, we could perhaps switch on to the Liverpool Palace game more. I mean, that was obviously a kind of bit of a game changer for the new manager of Crystal Palace, because, you know, they performed brilliantly, didn't they? Back three there were great. Eze particularly, I thought, was superb on the counter-attack. Elise, I mean, those two are so talented. And we mentioned Wharton as well. And Mateta was a real threat up front. And they gave as good as they got, certainly in the first half. As you would expect in the second, Liverpool, they went for it and they pushed and they pushed. And they missed some chances. And Henderson did make in that game a couple of extraordinary saves, didn't he, as well? What's your analysis tonight, Alan? What's your analysis on the two games?
My analysis on the Crystal Palace Liverpool is the front three, how they absolutely give them Liverpool back four torrid time.
Yep.
They were allowed so much space, and not very often have we said that this season about Liverpool's back four, but they were given the runaround by those three today. So that's the Palace game, and it is how brave Aston Villa were. So it was, although they were fantastic defensively in terms of getting everyone behind the ball, it was brave in terms of leaving people up and being able to go one for one and trusting their defenders. So that's my analysis on the Aston Villa Arsenal game. Yeah.
Who are you on with?
Me and Shea Given.
Ah, Shea, a bit of new, plenty of Newcastle on there tonight.
He's happy as well, though. He's got his Man City connections as well.
Yeah, well, we know that. Look at Mike is smiling. Mike is smiling. Come on. What was going through your mind? Come on, Micah. But I mean, it must be really quite difficult, and like for you, to live through like you, when you don't know who you really want the most. I mean, because I know in football, and I think Alan will. Well, actually, Alan played for Newcastle, obviously, pretty much most of his career at the latter stages, all of it, really. Whereas myself, what your boyhood club. Even when you play for other teams and your allegiances switch and you kind of switch off a little bit from your boyhood club. You follow them, but when you finish playing, it comes back that feeling of the club that you've supported as a child. That's what I found particularly. And then it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And you've been finished now, a few years, Micah, and I sense there's a little bit more of Arsenal creeping back in, that little red through your body.
No, it is hard because
Micah, forget about the money. That's City opinion. Speak from the heart.
City would understand.
It is hard because you can't change clubs, can you? If you support Arsenal when you're younger, but it's just the fact that Man City gave me my opportunity within life. The people at the club are amazing. And I'm not saying that because I'm an ambassador for that. They're just, everything that they do is second to none. I want a Premier League with Man City, a FA Cup the first.
Look at Alan. For those of you who can't see this, and obviously if you're listening to it as a podcast rather than on the YouTube, you won't see Alan making the little, rubbing his fingers together, little money sign.
I don't know if I was rudely interrupted.
Yeah, you won were.
The FA Cup,
carry on.
for 30 odd years, nearly 40 years. So I'm ingrained in the history of that club. And of course, we all have two teams, don't we? And they're my two teams.
Mm. Who's your other team, Alan? Blackburn or Southampton?
You want a Premier League with Blackburn?
I love Blackburn. I love Southampton. But Newcastle's my team.
Yeah, I'm like that as well. I've obviously got affinity towards Everton and Tottenham. Had great times at both clubs. Love both clubs. But your team is your team. And obviously Barcelona's quite nice because you can have a team abroad and they don't ever play against your
How the
team.
Fuck can we talk about the Premier League title?
I don't know what we're talking about.
And get on about Barcelona.
Oh, well, I don't know really. Because it's a podcast, we do what the fuck we want.
Love it.
We
can
do
love
what
it.
We want. And when we come back, we'll talk about Manchester City's performance yesterday, and we'll also talk about the possibility of history being made. Back-to-back trebles is now a distinct possibility. We'll be back shortly.
I'm Anthony Scaramucci, former White House Director of Communications and Wall Street financier.
And I'm Katty Kay, US Special Correspondent for BBC Studios. I've been covering American politics for almost three decades.
Welcome to The Rest is Politics US, brought to you by Goalhanger.
In this pivotal year for the United States, democracy, and world affairs, Britain's biggest podcast, The Rest is Politics, is launching stateside.
Uncovering secrets from inside the Biden and Trump inner circles and how they shape the world's most important economy, but also the global economy too.
New episodes are released every Friday morning.
Just search The Rest is Politics US wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Rest is Football with Alan Shearer, Micah Richards and myself, Gary Lineker, Manchester City, as expected, of course, against Luton, who are in the bottom three. We expect them to win comfortably and they did. And that possibility that I mentioned just before the break of back-to-back trebles. It's, what is it now? There's like few games left in the league, two games to win in the FA Cup. They get past Real Madrid, then there's just a couple of times. It's possible. You wouldn't have thought that would be a possible thing to do because it's such a difficult thing to achieve.
Mm.
But it's on. It's on the cards.
They can do it.
I wouldn't bet against them with any confidence.
No, me neither. I was just about to say that with the experience with the squad that they have. They've had injuries. It looks as if the injuries are getting a lot better for them at the right time. So, yeah, I'm like you. Can you imagine?
Oh, I know.
After so many years, we spoke, didn't we, about the 1999 team, Man United, and what they did and what they achieved and everything else. And then, of course, City did it. But then to do it and repeat it in the next season, what? I mean, that staggering, if they can do it.
It's not just that as well. It's winning a league four times in a row.
Yeah, which another record
nobody's
that would be.
Done. It's just remarkable, isn't it? Yeah. It really is remarkable what
Yes, everyone will say yes, but they've got, huge wealth behind them, this sort of thing. But so have other clubs. Manchester United probably spent more on players and et cetera. And, then they've also got the thing hanging over them for, the financial fair play, that stuff, which I think it's fair to mention. Although I think the vast majority of those things were before Pep arrived. But I think you've got to say,
still a club though, isn't it?
It's still a club, and it's still, and what Pep Guardiola has done. I mean, if he got back-to-back trebles, you would have to say, I think that would lift him above everybody else, I think, in the game. If he's not already there. Because what he does differently, of course, is that he evolves the game. He reinvents the game. Every season he comes up with something, you go, oh my God. Including this season, it was inverted fullbacks. Now it's centre-halves that play all over the pitch. it's absolutely staggering. I just wonder, does he ever think about anything else? I know he likes a game of golf, but I just wonder whether he's what goes on in that brain of his.
Do you know what? We need to get him on the pod, don't we?
Oh God, that's
the one we need. Yeah. We can pick his brains about absolutely everything. Because
why don't you ask him then? You know, when you're doing one of your
Mentioning fucking Arsenal every 2 minutes, I've got no chance.
Micah, we all know that deep down you are a massive Manchester City fan. We were watching the game together, actually, weren't we, Micah, yesterday when Man City were playing Luton. And, I mean, Luton sat everybody behind the ball, as a lot of teams, particularly those near the bottom of the table. And you understand that. And they've got, you know, it's a big ask for them. But you just know that there's absolutely zero chance of getting a result that way. The teams that have given them a bit of a run for their money are the ones that have gone, right, we'll actually have a go at you. You're going to get beaten anyway. If you just sit behind, they eventually will break you down. And I understand it's a very difficult thing to go a little bit gung-ho and try and press them and counter. And you just think, oh, and it's kind of boring to watch. 10 players behind the ball plus the goalkeeper, and then eventually, oh, yep, City get one, and then they get one in the second half, and then they get a couple more, three more later on.
Yeah, they've got no choice but to do that, Luton. I understand other clubs, but they were always going to do that. And that's why it's been such an important weekend. And I think, you know, and we're talking about tiny minutiae about advantages. When you play first on a Saturday and you win, you send a tiny little message, you know, to your opponents that, okay, we've done our job, pressure's on you, now you've got to go. And I don't care who or what you are, it does send a little tiny message. And with Man City doing their job yesterday and improving their goal difference, there's no doubt that the Liverpool and the Arsenal players would have looked at that yesterday, no doubt.
It's quite hard doing your analysis, isn't it, Micah, on Manchester in those sort of games, because it's kind of, it's repeat, 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 and you think, I've done everything, what do I do? I could see you were getting quite frustrated about, you know, in the end you went obviously with, you did Doku because he kind of made the difference and he was a standout player in the game. But tactically, there's nothing new in a game like that, is there?
Yeah, exactly that. You know, everyone calls Man City boring, but it's not Man City boring. It's the teams that are playing against sit back. If anyone's being boring, it's the opposition. I just thought Luton did defend really well. They had that horrible own goal they conceded, didn't they?
Course,
after
yeah.
2 minutes, which...
And that kills you, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It was madness. I thought it was a great strike from Haaland. Looked at the replay, come off Hashioka. That sounds about right.
You go with that, Mike. Go with it with confidence and no one will doubt.
No, but you know what? You said that last night, didn't you? Go with confidence, but...
Yeah, but I was trying to help Martin Keown because... You know what Martin's like? He gets a little... we had a giggle last night. I mean, Martin's wonderful. I love him to bits and he's brilliant to work with. But he does get a little bit nervous about his pronunciation of various various names. And he does tend to ask you quite a lot of times how you say everybody's name, including Nuno, remember? there was a bit in the show. I mean, he'll be fine. He was fine. It was brilliant. And just before his analysis, he's turned to Micah and he went, "It's Nuno, isn't it? Nuno." And Micah's gone, "Yes, of course it is." And then Micah and myself were corpsing. And Martin was doing his analysis, like obviously over the pictures. And Micah and myself could not look at each other because we were both gone. Nobody would have known at home because thankfully we're out of vision. But Micah had to look completely the other way. He was looking one way and I had to look completely the other way. Funnily enough, it was towards the monitor which had the Masters golf on, but that's beside the point. But we were both absolutely in hysterics and thankfully it was a long piece of analysis. So by the end of it, we managed to get a grip of each other and stop.
What else could it fucking be other than Nuno?
that's precisely the point. I don't know. Could it have been Nuno? it was so funny. It was so funny. Micah was. I mean, I just wondered whether you were going to come back from it, with Micah, at one point.
I was gone. Yeah. I was. You're totally right because the analysis was very long, and. For those who don't know, there's obviously various cameras in the studio. And you might have a camera that shows all three of us. You might have a camera that shows Gary when he's reading a link or asking a question. But luckily, when we came out, it came from like a back shot. and then to a single of Martin. If it would have come to a free shot there, I would have been in big trouble. Because if people see me laughing, we would have to address it. And it was just, was madness.
Outstanding. Love it, lads.
It was. I suppose we better talk about your team, Alan, hadn't we?
Well, I was wondering. Ooh. I mean, how long have we been in here now? What, 35 minutes it's taken you to mention the performance of the weekend?
Well, it didn't take you long to do it on the group chat to give me a bit of stick. It's battering Tottenham, but...
Talk about tactical masterclasses. Eddie schooled Ange. No doubt about it. He did. 3-3, played 3 at the back, changed the system, went man for man, pressed them high. And Spurs couldn't handle it. He wasn't prepared to change at all, Ange.
It's a hell of a way of playing Tottenham's when they push the fullbacks right in, and not only that, but you've got two central defenders playing really, really high, sometimes in the opposition's half. And if you've got no pressure on the ball, it's so easy for... I was thinking, God blimey, I'd love to play against that. I mean, you just spin in behind every time. Yeah. It'd be like the kind of, you know, I was the player that loved to spin all the time. I know, Alan, you used to like to get behind defenders as well. I mean, that's like, whoa, you'd be licking your lips, wouldn't you?
I respect and I like that he's got his way and he wants to stick that way.
Yeah.
But sometimes you're going to have to change because there's no doubt teams will suss that out and they're already starting to suss it out. I know Spurs have had a really good season, but I mean, Micah, you told me that Van de Ven was an unbelievable centre back.
Yeah, well,
have a bad day yesterday, did he, against a quality player?
A bad day at the office with zero protection. That's what I would say.
Yeah, he wasn't.
What's your opinion of trying to play an offside in your own half?
It's not wise.
Yeah, I mean. You know what? You know when you're a defender, you got that pace, Al. You just, I don't want to say you switch off, but you always just think your pace is going to get you out of trouble. But when you've got someone like Isak, who's quick and also can twist and turn, that is the problem.
He had his pants down, didn't he?
Yeah, 17 goals in 24 Premier League appearances. I mean, the only question mark against him is that he's missed a few games. But
yeah.
I mean, he's. I remember pointing him out in fact, can you remember, Alan? And it was, I think, was it the
Euros?
It was the Euros, wasn't it? He was doing really well. And I pointed, and he went in a press conference, and somebody said, oh, Gary Lineker's.
That's right.
Gary Lineker's tweeted something really positive about you, and he's gone, who?
Who's that? Who?
Never heard of him.
Who's that stupid old fucking fool?
Who is that old dick?
Yeah. Oh, he did. I remember that. By the way, if you get him out on the pitch.
Yeah.
And you have him fit. He's as good as there is in the Premier League. No doubt about that. His feet are so quick. He's a really good finisher. As quick as there is and in a race. He's a clever, clever footballer. Really superb, yeah.
It's been an up and down season for Newcastle, Alan, but they've actually rallied pretty well in the last few weeks, haven't they? And they've got themselves back in contention, which is a big plus for Eddie Howe, because there was one point where there were a few rumblings, weren't there? And people were saying, oh, not sure the players and this and that and the other, as you always do when you go through a bad run. But he's turned it round.
He's doing a brilliant job, and we said, I mean, if you look at the injury list that Newcastle had before yesterday's game, it's arguable that the injury list, you could have put a better team out, a better 11, and maybe the one that was actually against Tottenham. So that tells you how good a job that he's doing. The last couple of results are superb. They've got a decent run in. So, yeah, it's if they can get into a Europa League spot, which is every chance now, then it would still be an incredible season because of everything that's been thrown at them.
Just before we move on, Gary, I was, as you do, you go on Twitter or X, as it's called now, and I've seen an absolutely cringeworthy tweet from Alan wishing Smodix well done on your, was it 30 goals a season? And the only reason he did it is so people could know how good he was. Ah, it made me feel sick.
Hang on a minute, Micah. Can I also say, well done, Smodix. What a goal. And you're only upset because it was against your Leeds lot, another one of your teams.
Yeah, I know.
Micah, you've got to respect 30 goals in the season, man. You've got to respect that.
Yeah. No, I do respect
30 league goals.
Yeah.
Can you imagine doing that 3 seasons on the spin?
No, I could never. Which idiot did that?
Well, I'm glad Smodix is going to do that. Is that what you're talking about? I presume. Yeah. No.
Well done, Smodix.
Spurs are going to have a say in the title race, though. I mean, they're hit and miss, Tottenham. There's no question about it, as we've seen. But they've got Arsenal, Liverpool and Manchester City to play before the end of the season. I mean, it must have been really tough for Spurs fans today because half of them would be going, yes, Aston Villa have beaten Arsenal, so they won't, gives them less chance of winning the title. But at the same time, of course, Villa's the side that they're up against to finish in the top four. And given the nature of some of the European results of last week, I think it's looking quite unlikely that the Premier League will get five clubs. So Tottenham need to get a grip, but what a tough run-in they've got.
I think is Tottenham's next game Arsenal?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think it is, isn't it? In, what, 2 weeks' time? 15 days, yeah?
Yeah, at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium as well. Mm. And they've got City
what
there
game
as well,
that
haven't
can
they?
Be. Wow, yeah. Oof. But am I right in saying that the Tottenham City game is the last midweek of the season?
I think that was the one they were waiting to fit in, wasn't it, as a fixture?
It is, yeah.
And I think that's when it's going to be. So,
yeah.
I mean, and as you said, Micah, that bit of a bogey place for City to go.
Yeah, I mean, Spurs are one of those teams who do attack. They're going to stick to their principles. I think it's unfair for people to say Spurs have sort of not been as... They've just done what they've usually do all season. They've just basically not scoring and finishing off the chances. Maddison got injured at a bad time. Son went to the Asian Cup, which sort of killed their momentum a little bit. Kulusevski doesn't look quite the same. Richarlison has obviously had his problems and got injured. But they still are a very good team. And on their day, good, they can beat anyone.
And they're really good too. The one thing I would say overall this season, it's been a massive improvement on the previous years where Spurs fans, and I've obviously massive affinity towards the football club. I mean, it's been fairly drab. And suddenly you got, yes, it can be a bit hit and miss as we saw at the weekend. But they play exciting football and they go for it. And it's adventurous, it's entertaining, and you're never going to be bored, are you?
No, you're never going to be bored. But I do believe, especially when I was doing the analysis, is they basically, I don't say missing a number six, but if you're going to go that high as a midfield pair with Bissouma and Bentancur, who played on the Saturday, the need to know what each other are doing. So half the team was caught up the field and then you've got your centre-half staying on the halfway line but not reading the situation. It's just that communication or someone who could just sit in front of the back four just to give them a little bit more protection, I would say.
They are hopeless at defending corners as well.
Yeah, they've really struggled, certainly in recent weeks. Let's move on. Blimey, same old Man United.
Oh, my word.
Struggling, aren't they?
I don't know if you... Did you see any of that game, Alan?
I watched in the car on the way up, yeah. So I didn't have great view of it because I was watching on my iPad. But I saw bits of it, yeah. They were rotten again first half, weren't they?
Yeah. Bournemouth played well, though. I think it's important to say that, but especially in the first half.
Yeah, Kirkes down the left-hand side was brilliant. I felt a little bit sorry for Kambwala. So in terms of, we talked about protection for Spurs as well, like Man United's midfield, they don't seem to be working together. They are working hard. I think a lot of people say they look at the team, they're not working. They are actually working hard.
In that case, Micah, would you say that is a tactical flaw?
This is exactly to my point. It is a tactical thing. So we know Maynard's very, very good now. He's more than just a number six. He's a number eight who can get into the box. And sometimes him and Fernandes become on the same line. And Casemiro, fantastic player, but maybe not got the legs of what he used to have, where he could just dominate a midfield by himself. He needs a little bit more help. And then two of them will press, Fernandes and Maynard. And then there's a big, massive gap. And then Casemiro has to go engage. Then young Kambwala, 19 years of age, is exposed. He's a good player. He did very well. He did very well in the Liverpool game. But at that age, away from home, you just need a little bit more structure. Dalot, who's been playing really well, had a bad game at right back, no communication. Garnacho got subbed at halftime as well. So they're just missing that real lack of maybe identity in how they want to approach games for different opponents is what I see with Man United at the moment.
I know he's not everyone's favourite, but where would they be, by the way, without Bruno Fernandes?
I know.
Absolutely. I mean, he's a very talented player. It'd be interesting to see him in a team that was really structured and really, you know, going well and successful. He's not had that really at Manchester United. Whether he's part and parcel of that, I don't know, but he's a wonderfully gifted footballer. There's no question about that. Just quickly, before we head off, let's talk about a little bit about the bottom of the table. We were saying last night it's so difficult to predict what might happen because we don't really know what's going to happen with in terms of points deductions and appeals and that sort of stuff. And we're saying we might not even know who's gone down after they're supposed to have gone down.
I know, because there's fucking stupid asterisks everywhere, isn't there, at the bottom of the league.
I've heard he's in contention for player of the season, asterisks.
Oh, God. I mean, yeah, I felt for Luton at the weekend, but what I would say is that they have given themselves the best opportunity, whether by hook or by crook, whether it's other teams' bad luck or whether other teams deserve it because of the points deductions, that Luton have given themselves the best chance of staying up. I don't see them. I think the bottom three in terms of Sheffield United, Burnley and Luton will probably...
And I suspect, and I know this is a bit unfair, but I suspect the Premier League will be sort of hoping that's the case, because that way the points deductions won't affect it. And it still could, I suppose, if those three are down. And then, I mean, what happens then? If, like, it's one team's a point above, but they've got 2 points and in deduction, and then that would have sent them down. And then all of a sudden there's a delay and there's an appeal and that's decided after the end of the season. What a mess. And people,
what a mess.
How does an independent, like, tribune or whatever you want to call it, decide on whether a team gets relegated or not? It's they whatever they do, they need to sort it out fast and make some kind of decision quickly for everybody's sake. I just want a quick word about our executive producer on this, Tony Pastor, my partner in this business.
Bless him.
Tony, can you just switch off now, because we're going to talk about Burnley. Oh my goodness me again. The goalkeeper, 2 weeks running, Moorish, who'd come in, and it kind of coincided with an improvement in results of late. But, oh, what an error. What an error. Just put his foot on the ball and kind of let it slip under his foot into the goal.
No, I'm not. I'm not even going to laugh at it.
No,
because it's not funny. It's not. You can't. It's just a horrendous mistake, and it'll affect him for the rest of his life.
You know what? It's not good. You know what it's done, though? It's sort of, when you look at Burnley and how they've been playing of late, he's actually been really good. But all people are talking about are the bad mistakes. What makes it even work? They've changed the tactics slightly, not making the same amount of mistakes sort of in the middle of the pitch where it was getting countered on. But now, because they still want to play out, which Alan's talked about all season long, that's what happens. You know, you trust your goalkeepers are going to make mistakes.
Do you think that's perhaps why we're seeing now the fact why he stuck with Trafford for so long? Maybe because of the way he wants to play, and Trafford's obviously more comfortable with the ball at his feet. But
yeah, that was working, wasn't it?
Well, it wasn't, and that's why ultimately he had to change.
Sorry, Tony.
Alan said he wasn't going to laugh, and now he's laughing.
Oh, no, sorry.
So I'm going to move on. And good luck to all those sides, because it's horrible being relegated. It's horrible, as we all know. Moment of the week has to be Bayer Leverkusen winning the Bundesliga. They've just done it this afternoon. 5-0 win against Werder Bremen. Their first ever Bundesliga title. They've scored 74 goals in 29 league games and conceded just 19. It's mid-April, by the way, chaps, and they've still haven't lost a game in any competition. And if you look at their team, it's not a team of superstars. There's a couple of young, really exceptional players, Florian Wirtz being one of them, that we've mentioned many times. But my goodness me, Xabi Alonso. This could be, I think, if, can you imagine if they get to the end of the season, win the Europa League, win the German Cup, and go to the end of the season without losing a game? That would like almost have to be the greatest season ever by any team, wouldn't it?
And by the way, we talk about teams being brave. Have you seen how brave they are? How they play?
Yeah.
Incredible.
Really high. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, staggering what he's doing, what he's done. Just incredible.
You imagine how good he'll be when he gets a bit of experience.
can we just pray for Harry Kane?
Pray for Harry Kane. Harry's a happy man. Harry's going to win the Euros with England, and then all of it will go away.
Our Father in heaven.
Well, it is a Sunday, Mike, I suppose. Thy kingdom come, Kane will be done.
To Harry Kane.
Harry's all right. He's having the time of his life. He's scoring loads of goals. It's not his fault.
He's the unluckiest player I think I've ever... How can you be that good? He's gone there to win trophies. And he could be out the Champions League next week.
He might not be either.
He might. Yeah, they've got a good chance. They've got home advantage.
Let's win the Euros.
He'll win things.
Come on.
It's not all about that. It's all the most important thing in the game, Mike, as we all know, is scoring goals.
Is it hell? Behave yourself.
it is for some of us, but we'll all pray for Harry Kane in the summer, I think most of us anyway. That's for sure. Regardless of how Bayern have performed, he's been absolutely magnificent this season, no question about that. I think that'll do us for now, because I'm going to watch the golf. Alan, get the monitor on, top corner, while you're doing Match of the Day 2.
Already told them, it's already planned.
I have to say, I don't mind confessing that during Match of the Day last night, my right eye was focused on the Masters coverage. It was sensational last night, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I suspect it will be. So I'm going to go and watch the golf. I know you won't be, Micah, but...
No, I've got to travel down to London. We've got another podcast tomorrow, haven't we?
We've got Match of the Day Top 10. I've already started cooking for you all.
Oh, love it.
What are we having?
I'm going to surprise you.
Surprises.
Ooh. And a nice bottle of red, please, if you don't mind.
But Micah Chicken will be involved.
Thank God for that. But I hate the cringy mushiness and all that. And I especially don't like to give, especially you two, credit. But Gary last night did something that it just staggered me. So for those who don't know, Gary reads off an auto cue. He could do it without an auto cue. And I don't want to be up his ass because it sounds horrible. But Gary times his read for about a minute. I think the read yesterday was about a minute and 4 seconds, something like that. And he goes through it, he reads the papers, et cetera, et cetera. It gets to about 58 seconds. He's not started the read. And I'm nervous because for those who don't know, Match of the Day is still live. It's not pre-recorded. We don't do it at 7, 8 or 9. It's live. 58 seconds goes. He's not started the script. I'm starting to sweat. I'm thinking.
Don't sweat.
What's happening here? He goes into it. They say that they're producing the ear. Or the director, which is Colin. He says camera 4. So he swiftly just swings his on his seat, swiftly goes to the left and starts reading. And then he throws in a few ad-libs as well. And just as he say goodbye, it is 1 second left. And that was presenting at the highest level.
Well, I've done it for 25 years, Mike. If I can't hit the count now, I'm never going to hit the damn thing. In fact, we've got 5, 4, 3. So goodbye from me.
Goodbye.
Hurry up, pal. We've got 2 seconds.
Goodbye from me. Have a great week.